Good morning. It is indeed a pleasure for me to be here, and it always is when I get the privilege of visiting various churches, and I don't do as much of it as I used to, but I've had the privilege of speaking in quite a few churches and also pastoring a church, the Hauptstadt Mennonite Church, for 7 years back in the 90s, And as a farm journalist, I continue to write and do a bit of broadcasting from here and there. But boy, it's a real privilege to serve our Lord. That's number one. To give glory to God who created us. And at the beginning of 2015, remember 2000? My wife just mentioned that's 15 years ago when we thought the world was coming to an end. You know, and time just continues on, and it was like, I think a Tuesday when in our area and in some other areas we had power failures all night, and then 2 nights ago we went through that again, and you think that the power will never come on, right? It's especially when it's that cold outside, and then from you just seem to think that things will never come to an end. But here we are in 2015. And I've chosen Colossians chapter 3 as part of my message text this morning. Also want to go briefly to Isaiah chapter 40 and then finish off with 1 John chapter 5. Seek the things which are above. And that, Chairman already alluded to what that really means. In our church, about a year ago, I guess last February, we had a national prayer conference of pastors from across Canada. Our church hosted this conference, and we had a speaker there that did 5 one-hour sessions on this particular portion of Scripture. Seek ye the things which are above. And every evening he would do one point. And then he would continue on. The next day he would repeat, and then he would do the next point of this portion of Scripture. The reason I mention that, during those 5 days of National Prayer Conference, the first evening, we had a revival in our church. We had an altar call that lasted 1 hour. The aisles of the church were right almost halfway down the aisles. People kneeling. Revival was taking place because many people had been grabbed hold of the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to change their lives and start to set things above and not just on things below. We had families meeting in corners. We had people that hadn't talked to each other for some time, making right. And that's what that prayer conference was all about. And the man who preached 15 years before that had lost his wife suddenly, and at the graveside he didn't know how he was going to continue. He was pastoring a church, and God called him to have a prayer ministry. For the last 15 years, he preaches 50 weeks a year, does a one-week conference around the world somewhere, and he's 75 years old. He definitely changed his attitude and set things above. And his purpose in life was to make sure that others would do the same. And what a blessing it was for the people in our church when he was there. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we become quiet before you this morning, and we thank you for this beautiful place that we can gather. Lord, unmolested, we have peace, and many places around the world don't. And yet we are blessed today by the people that went before us, who prayed, who took seriously what it means to live a Christian life, with our affections set on things above. Lord, I thank you for those people that have gone on before us. And I think of my parents and I think of my in-laws and how they were committed to living a life serving you. And yes, Lord, we all have our days and we all have our shortcomings. But before you, Lord, we know that you are there to give us the strength and the guidance. I pray this in your precious name as we give you the honor and the glory for what is said here in the next few minutes. Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What does it mean to seek those things that are above? I know a little bit about what that means because this year we moved out of our bigger house into a smaller side-by-side condo. And it had less than half the space that the other one had. So that meant I couldn't take everything along. So I got on my knees before God and I asked him to show me, to release me of those things that I didn't need in this world to continue my work and to continue my service for him. I had saved up magazines for years, magazines that had carried my articles. I thought they were so precious. God said, you know what? They mean nothing. What are you going to do with it? Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? No. I couldn't take it with me, even from that house to the next place, because there wouldn't be room for me. So we got rid of things. And today, I have my computer and my hard drives and the things I need for work, and I got rid of all those things. And for 6 months, I haven't collected anything. What a deliverance. Oh, it's a thing I have to work on every day. But to know when I walk into a store, unless I need it, I don't have to buy it. So I don't set my things, affections. And when my wife says, well, should we do this and should we do that? You know what? I'm learning to be content with what I have right now. And I don't need all those things that just complicate and clutter our lives. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What is that, if you be risen with Christ? It simply means that when we commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and we are buried in baptism, then he's telling those people, if you have gone through that salvation process that you have nothing to do with other than giving your heart to the Lord Jesus, then if you're risen with him, then seek those things. And the other thing is that many people don't place a lot of importance on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know we as Christians in our church, we celebrate Easter, and that's good. But do we actually place the importance on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that when we die, he will resurrect us from life and we will be like him? But he says it's tough when we allow all those other things on this earth to clutter our lives. We want to be somebody. We want to do this. We think we are entitled to having things because our neighbors have those things. And yet, if you are risen, you have been baptized and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You've identified with Christ. Seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What do you think God and Jesus beside him is doing? Is he worried about all the cars that people drive and all those other things? Oh, I'm sure that he knows all of that. But Jesus, on the right hand of God, as the writer here says, is sitting there on the right hand of God, and he's concerned about heavenly things, not about these earthly, worldly things. Don't get me wrong. I love to go out and eat. I love a nice car and all those things. But I've been able to shift a little bit so that that doesn't become my sole purpose of living on this earth, is to acquire more things, to have a bigger bank account. I know when my father, who was a good farmer and died in 1984, you know, he told us before he died, when he always wished if he could reach a certain amount of money in the bank, he would be happy. And Dad was happy. But he wanted that number to double once he reached that first number. He wanted that to be more. And he says, and it's funny, how it always, unless he put a real stop to it, how he always just wanted more. That number in the bank was supposed to get bigger. I don't know. I know that Dad died, and he died, one that was praising the Lord right up until the day he was here. But do you think our relationship to our Lord God grows when our bank account grows? What do you think? I know it didn't in my life. In fact, it did just the opposite. When I used to think I had to be at everything and have everything and be that, now I want to give him the honor and the glory, because we're risen with Christ, we set our things above, where Christ sitteth on the hand of God. You know, God, we just celebrated Christmas, right? We see the decorations still. And that's such a wonderful time of year, especially when family comes home and we celebrate together. Jesus came as a baby, but he also came as God. He's the God baby. Then he became the God man. And I preach sometimes in a Lutheran church just across the border from Walhalla. And a number of years ago, I preached a message that included the God man. And those people told me they'd never heard that before. That Jesus was God and he was man. So when he came to this earth as a little baby, born in a manger to Mary and Joseph through the virgin birth, and then he spent 30 years getting ready. Guess what? If Jesus needed to spend 30 years to get ready so he could minister for 3.5 or 3 1/3, what should we be doing? Focusing on things above or focusing on things below? Because Jesus said himself, he didn't have a place to lay his head. But he asked the disciples to follow him. So we have Jesus, the baby. He becomes a man. At 30, he starts his ministry. And at 33.5, he's done. At least on earth. And that's why this portion of Scripture is so important. Because he was that baby. He was that man so that he could experience everything that we experience. Only one big difference. Sinless. He never committed a sin. And some people think they killed him. They didn't kill him. He chose to give up his life because he is God. And now he is sitting there, having experienced as a God-man on this earth, walking just like you and I have, all the joys and the struggles, and now he's sitting up there looking at the heavenly things, and Paul knew exactly what that meant. He needed to focus on those things. Verse 2, set your affection. It's one thing to seek those things, right? But what is affection? Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. So seek, first of all, those things above. Then take that the next step and set your affections. Doesn't affection, when you show affection to somebody, you for sure like that person? In many cases, it leads to love. And in this case, Paul is saying, set your affections, your love, your caring on things above, not on things on this earth. And then, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What exactly does that mean? The death simply means the death to self, the death to sin, the death to the things of this world. Yes, we all need a warm house. We need a warm car. My van didn't start yesterday, and of course, on the coldest day, the battery dies, right? So it did. So I went and bought a battery. Then I come home and my doorknob doesn't work because it's too cold and it broke off. And we thought we had a new place. So I had to get a new doorknob. But that's okay. We replace those things. Set your affections. And then for you are dead to this world. I know that's almost a cliche, and we say that sometimes so almost flippantly, to be dead to this world. For 67 years, not all that long, but the last number of years, the Lord worked with me so I could come to a point where I could have that so-called a bit of relief and deliverance where I didn't need to buy many more things because you simply don't have room. But it was more than just the room. It was something that took place inside of me, giving me a certain point of deliverance. And I've had some health issues with my heart, and it's not the greatest, but that's okay. So I can't travel the way I used to. I used to be able to go to meetings and I loved it. Can't do it anymore because I just can't handle the stress. But you know what? That too is okay. I can do it all from home. And I can do it right from there. I travel around the world using Skype and Twitter and whatever else, and I interview some farmer somewhere in the world every day. And that's how I write my articles. And if they want to be in the paper, they send me pictures. So I don't have to. But I do have one challenge that I'm looking towards, and I'm going to see if my health will be okay. I've been invited by the Menno Colony in Paraguay to come and do 2 weeks of speaking on agriculture. So I'm trusting the Lord, and I'm walking more every day, and I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight so I can really be in good shape if we decide that that's what we want to do. So if you want to put that on your prayer list, go right ahead. I'd appreciate that. But if I can't do it, it doesn't matter. Oh, I'd love to go south and visit and spend some time there. But it doesn't work out that way for us. And again, it doesn't matter. All I'm saying here is I'm not trying to tell you that I've just done all of these things and been able to just turn my back on them. That's not the case. I want someone here who is set here in 2015 and you're wondering, you're at a kind of a turning point, you're not sure where your life is going to go. Well, look at this portion of Scripture and see what you are seeking in your life. See where you're placing your affection. Maybe there's one family or two families, somebody that can say, you know what? We don't need that bigger house and have a bigger mortgage. Why not do with what we have and concentrate on the family? Oh yes, our place is a little small, and when they all came home, we had to make do. As I told my wife yesterday, it's a little compact, isn't it? But it sure is comfortable. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That, to me, is a comforting thought. To know that my life, after I gave it to Him, is hid with Christ. And guess what? When God decides to come back, then I will be unhid, as will be those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then you will be unhid, and we will be unloosed, and we will be able to... I have no idea what we will be able to do. Do you? All I know is that when He comes, and I get a chance to see Jesus face to face, that's all I want. Because that's going to be better than anything that money can buy on this earth. And that's why we need to, somewhere along the line, set our affections on those things. Because Jesus has hid us. And He wants us. You know, I was reading a devotional just the other day, and that sometimes people are scared into thinking that God will take advantage of them if they surrender their lives to Him. Wow, what a misnomer that is. And this book it's the one that's called Living the Victorious Life, written by an unknown author who discovered what it really meant to live the victorious life. And my wife and I are reading it every evening, and we're now going through it for the 7th time. And we learn something more each time. And the thing we remember, we read yesterday, was surrender the surrender. Surrender the surrender. What does that mean? Well, it means we've got to get to grips with what surrendering means. Then even that, we need to surrender. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Amen. Isn't that the key? I already alluded to that. When He shall appear, we as children of God. No, not a community. Has nothing to do with your family other than them being able to take you to the point where you have to make that decision. Has nothing to do with your church other than they nurture you. But it has everything to do with your personal decision for Jesus Christ. Because there are people today that teach and preach and tell people that, oh, if you're just part of that community, it's all good. It's all good. You don't need to make a personal commitment. That's old-fashioned. The Bible isn't old-fashioned. The Bible is as modern today as it was when the people inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Let's go a little bit to Isaiah 40, one of the passages that I like and go to often. Verse 28 of Isaiah 40, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Can you just imagine Jesus sitting in the right hand of God? Never gets tired. Never becomes weary. Never fainteth. There is no searching of His understanding. Well, we think we're smart. At least sometimes I thought I was. Right? Here, Isaiah writes, he says, you can't even begin to Google God's understanding. It is so great. You cannot even begin to search it. It is so vast. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, here's the but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I said earlier that I'm walking and working hard at getting into a little bit better shape. And this morning it was a little cool at 7 o'clock when I went for my 30-minute walk outside. But I did. You might ask me, are you bragging or complaining? I'm just the fact. If I want to walk every day, I have to walk every day, right? No matter what the weather is. So I did. I came home. It was cold. But I was dressed. We have the wherewithal to make sure we are dressed warmly. So I love walking outside. And yet, I didn't feel like running. And I was a little bit weary. But those that wait upon the Lord, those that set, going back to Colossians 3, set their affections on things above. This is what Isaiah is talking about. You will not be weary. You will not faint. They shall walk and not faint. In conclusion this morning, I want to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Another one of my favorite verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. You know, there were churches and even conferences that for many years taught that you couldn't know for sure that you would be going to heaven. Many thought and taught that you can hope. But to be sure of that, that was almost going beyond what God had in store for you. I have used this verse just about every time I preach. And this is what it says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. The Son of God that's sitting at the right hand, who tells us through Paul to set our affections and things above. He says that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you come to a point and you aren't sure, yes, we have John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But here we have the author writing that you may know that you have eternal life. You come to an end where you have doubts. Go back to this verse. Read it. Read it. Because John wrote these things before that. Because there were doubts. There were all kinds of people then trying to show them that, oh, you don't need this, you don't need, you know, you don't need the cross, you don't need Jesus' blood, you don't need any of that. You just have to trust. Well, we need all of that in order to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We need to go to the cross. We need to allow the blood that Jesus shed. And he died for our past, our present, and our future sins. Because he will not go to the cross again. He will not shed his blood again. You know, we could use the example about the Jewish faith and how they had to kill a lamb ever so often to get forgiveness of their sin. But they always had to kill another one. And then God saw in his wisdom, an understanding that we can't even begin to grasp, that it didn't work. He sent his son Jesus as a baby. And he asks us to accept that baby and the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we feel that we can understand that and take that by faith, He does the work, we have to accept it. But we come to that point where we need to do that. And today, if there's anybody here, during this Christmas season that we've just finished, and as we move forward into 2015, if you haven't made that decision to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, do so. Do it right where you are. Just ask Him to forgive your sins. Ask Him to forgive those sins and to accept you as you come. May that be your New Year's resolution for 2015. And you will be blessed, those around you, and God will be honored, and the angels will rejoice. Amen.